You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's Friday. It is time for a look back at what the heck happened, jobs and otherwise. Neela Richardson is here. She's at ADP. David Gura is back as well. Hey, you two.
Hey, Kai.
Hi, Kai.
So, Neela, let me go to you as the trained economist on the panel. I don't know, David, if you ever took calculus. I never did, and I surely would have failed.
I don't even know.
But Neela, to the point that Mitchell was making, and Joe Brusuelis as well, this idea that labor market gains are slowing, that seems to me to be perilous.
It is, and I was a math major, so I
Here you
know.
Go. Yes, okay, good.
Well, you know, our job gains peaked at 4.7 million jobs in June. And since then, we've seen this consistent deceleration every month to where we are now of about 245,000 jobs added. And why that's bad is that $10 million hole in the ground that we still have to fill. So it's not really job gains, it's job recovery.
Yeah.
We're not gaining jobs. We're recovering jobs. That's an important distinction. And Kai, I'm going to say one last thing that I'll support. Guys shouldn't pay attention to wages or the unemployment rate, because the wage composition has changed. Low-income workers have been impacted more. That makes wages look higher than they actually should be. And unemployment rate is lowering, getting lower and improving, because people are leaving the job market because of all these health concerns and remote school. So a very complex picture with the labor market right now.
Super complex. And I'm so glad you mentioned wages in that bit about low-income workers being forced out and thus pushing the wage appearances anyway higher. But David, let me get to Neela's point. She said $10 million hole in the ground. She meant 10 million job hole in the ground. Gets me to my premise at the open, right? How we doing? We're still not doing so good.
No, we're not doing well at all, and there's a lot to worry about. I mean, there are positive seeming conversations happening on Capitol Hill. It seems like Democrats and Republicans are talking, and once again, we're pushed up against this fiscal cliff, so maybe that's going to accelerate things. But to get to what Neela was just saying a moment ago, this is something that's being borne disproportionately by women, by minorities. We've seen so many women have to leave this labor force as a result of what's going on, and more so than men leaving to have to take care of children who are not able to go to school. And then there's this overarching story as well. When this began, there were so many Americans who thought, look, this is going to be a temporary thing. Maybe I'm hearing that from my employer. I'm going to be able to get my job back in a couple of months. Here we are 9-10 months into this, and it's starting to become clear that's not the case for a lot of people. And I go back to what Jay Powell, the Fed chair, says over and over again. We are seeing a kind of fundamental reconfiguration of the economy and the labor market in particular. And there are many jobs in this economy that are not going to come back. And we're seeing glimpses of that in the data that we got this morning as well.
Right. So, Neela, talk to me for a second about the impact of this fiscal cliff that, that David mentioned, that we've talked about on this program for a long time now, right? We are almost literally, not we, Congress is almost literally running out of time to get anything done.
Right. A lot of the media talk was whether this month's jobs report would actually move the needle on the stimulus package, a stimulus package that could help the economy weather the storm winter months where we're seeing a surge in COVID cases. Perhaps not 1 month of data is going to move Congress, but what will move Congress is running out of money and not being able to fund federal agencies. And that is the situation we are going to be in next week. So you might see a conflation of stimulus and the spending package put together, trying to eke out a deal that does both a little, funds the government and also pacifies those who want more stimulus. The question is this an appetizer or an entree? Are we going to expect more stimulus in 2021, or is this one and done, and consumers and businesses are on their own to weather 2021?
Right. Well, David Gura, take it from there, right? Because no matter what happens this time, given the proclivities of Republicans in the Senate, it will not be as big as virtually every mainstream economist says it's going to be. So do you suppose that come January 20th, there's going to be another bite at the apple?
Well, that's what House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is banking on. And, you know, this is a bill, at least is what we know of it now, that's about a third the size of what Nancy Pelosi said that she wanted. It's like a $900 billion bill. So that is a far cry from what she had said earlier, what economists have been saying. And the benefits, the unemployment benefits, would be smaller than Democrats said they wanted. And so you look at that and you wonder, what's the deal here? Is it a question of realism? Let's get this done now. Let's have the entree, as Neela described it, come January, when things presumably will change. The tenor may change in Washington. And from that is a bit of optimism, I suppose. But, you know, you and I have been here over many years as we've faced fiscal cliffs. And it's dispiriting that once again, we're talking about another short-term spending gap. But this is how policy is done in Washington, not just in the year 2020, but over the last decade plus. It seems like that's the way that budgeting is done. And it does seem like this is what Democrats have decided, that there's a way of kind of putting these two things together, yoking these things together, as Nela said. And I think that what House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is banking on is that maybe they'll pick up these two seats in Georgia, and that's going to change the calculus. Let's get back to Mitchell once again, come January 20th.
Right. Calculus all over the show. Nela, super quick, what are you going to be looking for to let you know that we've bottomed out in this recession?
Consumers hold the key to the economy. Wow. You know, we've seen markets thrive because of Fed stimulus, fiscal stimulus earlier in the year. But at some point, the rubber has to meet the road in the real economy, and consumers hold the keys. Concerned consumers don't spend. They right. don't re-engage in the economy. And so consumer confidence will tell us if consumers are both willing to spend and able to spend. And that's what's going to drive the economy forward. Consumer spending is 70% of the economy.
It is amazing how much of this counts on the consumers. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Nela Richardson at ADP, David Gura as well. Thanks, you two. I appreciate you.
Thanks,
time.
Kai. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Have a nice weekend. That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.